There's a challenge that we face every year at the Cinematheque, which is programming something against the Cleveland International Film Festival, which siphons off much of our audience and, as everybody knows, is like hugely popular and successful. So how do you program, you know, against a kind of an art film behemoth like that? So what we try to do is reach out to an audience that maybe won't be down at the film festival. And so we started 8 years ago something that we called the Cleveland Cult Film Festival. And, you know, we focus on films that have, well, we hope a coterie of fans, you know, who will turn out and see these films on the big screen. And I don't know, this year I just decided to focus on four, you know, notoriously bad movies, which nobody ever revives. And which I think people might be, you know, interested in giving a second chance to.
So this weekend, it's Moment by Moment and Ishtar. And why these? Why are these films so bad that they're good? Or aren't they?
Well, I haven't seen Moment by Moment since the 1970s when it came out. I think the main draw here is that the film is really not available on, you know, on DVD. So it's, you know, it's hard to see. It's rarely shown, but it does have John Travolta, who, you know, is a huge star, Lily Tomlin, great comedian. And they made this kind of at the height of their, well, I wouldn't say at the height of Travolta's fame, but certainly he was just coming off of, you know, Saturday Night Fever in Greece. I remember the film being very funny, just because the nickname of his character is Strip. And so whenever she calls him, it sounds like she's asking him to take his clothes off, so which he does during the film, as I recall. It's not a great movie, but who knows? It should have some laughs, if nothing else. And I'm just curious, because I like those two actors so much, I'm just curious to, like, revisit this film and see what I think of it, you know, almost 40 years later. As for Ishtar, I saw it once when it came out. I didn't care for it. Since then, I mean, I had, one of my relatives regarded it as her favorite movie of all time. I mean, she was, you know, much younger than I am. And I've discovered that other people actually really like the film. I think Quentin Tarantino's a fan, Martin Scorsese. And, I mean, it's hard to argue with the talent involved. I mean, not only, you know, Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman, and written and directed by Elaine May, who is, you know, some sort of genius. But you have Charles Grodin in there. You've got Carol Kane from Cleveland in there. Jack Weston, who's originally from Cleveland, is in there. So I don't know. I'm eager to just see it again in, you know, with, like, fresh eyes, you know, years away from the kind of critical drubbing that it received in its day.
So do you think younger people may enjoy Ishtar because it's kind of the comedy of awkwardness that we've seen in The Office and Parks and Rec and things like that?
Well, that's possible. No, I've never really talked to anybody about it other than my niece, you know, who just says she thinks it's hilarious. And I don't even remember it well enough to even comment on, like, you know, any sort of comedy of embarrassment. I watched the trailer where I saw some of their, you know, some of the, I don't know, the kind of cabaret act or whatever that Hoffman and Beatty do. And I still thought it looked really bad. It didn't look especially funny to me. I did laugh at a line where Dustin Hoffman and Beatty are in the desert and Hoffman is kind of on all fours, and there's, like, a bird there, and Hoffman says, "Is that a vulture?" And and Beatty says, "Yes, it is." And then Beatty talks to the bird and says, "Go away. He's not dying. He's just resting." I thought that was funny. So who knows? You know what we'll see. I mean, one of the things I want to do at the Cinematheque, and it frustrates me that all of film history has been reduced to kind of a handful of classic films that get shown over and over and over, you know, at most theaters around America. you know, when was the last time Ishtar was shown in a theater? And, you know, Sony went to the trouble of, like, you know, doing a restoration of it. And again, the Cinematheque's focus is really more not necessarily on individual films, but on people who have proven themselves to be, like, you know, people of talent. And certainly Elaine May is, you know, is in that category. And so, you know, if Ishtar ends up being, I mean, how I regard many films by great directors, I've long said that a bad film by a great director is more interesting, you know, than a good film by a mediocre director. And I really believe that kind of to the core of my being. So anyway, I'm eager to see it again.
Next weekend, it's Showgirls and Geely. And what coalesced to make these films so reviled?
What I want to say, there's a kind of mob mentality, I think, sometimes when it comes to film criticism. And for some reason, certain films come along that every critic, all the critics gang up against it, you know. And you take a movie like Showgirls. I mean, Showgirls, you know, is kind of an awful movie. It's a, you know, it's an unsavory subject. You know, you have a TV star who's taking off her clothes and kind of embarrassing herself. You know, some people, like Joe Esterhaus and Paul Verhoeven, will sometimes claim that the film was meant to be, you know, a satire of the Las Vegas, you know, showgirl scene. I don't know if it plays a satire. I mean, in retrospect, they might be saying that just to salvage the film. But whatever Showgirls is, it's a film by Paul Verhoeven, who's a major director, a Dutch director originally, by an important screenwriter. And the film is quite spectacular visually, and it is a lot of fun. You know, I mean, it certainly is a very funny movie. Why everybody ganged up? It just seemed to be like it was an easy target, you know, for critics. Showgirls now, of the four we're showing, I would say Showgirls has the most, has kind of the biggest reputation, has certainly, you know, achieved redemption more than any of the other three. And some people think Showgirls is a masterpiece. So, and we have shown Showgirls at the Cinematheque before. That's the one that, you know, that might turn up from time to time. But no, I mean, this is something that bothers me, and, you know, it works both ways, you know what I mean? Like, there was a movie last year called Tony Erdmann, which got great reviews, you know, internationally. Best film of the year, you know, in Sight and Sound magazine, in Cahiers du Cinéma, the big French, you know, film magazine, in CinemaScope, the Canadian film magazine, in Film Comment. I saw it. I knew it had gotten all this acclaim. It hadn't gotten those particular honors at that point. But I knew it was a big deal at the Cannes Film Festival. When I saw it, I thought I was, like, kind of underwhelmed by the whole thing. And so why certain films just kind of, like, take off like that, only to provoke an inevitable backlash? I don't know. I think you need to talk to a sociologist or somebody more than a film programmer. In the case of Geely, I never saw Geely. It got just terrible reviews. You know, a lot of times critics relish that, you know, you have people who become big stars, and then they kind of relish the opportunity to kind of, like, knock them down, you know, or you know, bring them down to size, you know, at some point. And this has happened. You see this in careers, too. You know, I think we've seen this with Woody Allen. You know, we've seen it with Federico Fellini. You know, I mean, there's so many directors who... Fellini does one thing, you know, like, incredibly well, this kind of phantasmagorical cinema. He's celebrated all over the world for it. And then at some point, people grow tired of it. They think it becomes, like, a self-parody. And then everybody hates Fellini. And they accuse him of being, you know, the problem is that he's Fellini-esque. Well, he invented the whole genre, you know what I mean? He can't exactly transform himself. He could, I guess, and make something that he really would be totally uncomfortable making. But it's just that, I don't know. I kind of think the film critics want to have the upper hand here. And just kind of, like, let the artist know who's really, you know, in charge, who's the real gatekeeper of their reputation. But history, you know, has a way of kind of like, I don't know, I guess redeeming people who are really great. The same thing's happening to Terrence Malick now, and I don't like Terrence Malick's films that he's making right now as much as his earlier films. But I have to give him credit because nobody else is making movies like this, and he has an incredible visual imagination and sense of just moving the camera and cutting images together and putting music onto images. He's definitely got an incredible talent. Is he becoming a self-parody of himself now? Maybe. But I still think his film should be seen and should be shown. I think the common thread, well, with the exception of Ishtar, is that the other three films, at least to an uninformed viewer, seem to be like serious, earnest films. You know what I mean? With scripts that somebody kind of labored over, and they were going to reveal, I don't know, kind of a slice of life. You know, either about two characters in L.A. in the case of Moment by Moment, or in the Las Vegas, you know, like entertainment scene in Showgirls. And Gigli is some sort of gangster movie. I've never even seen it. But the films have like hilarious, unintentionally funny, you know, lines, and you know, these very earnest performances, which end up being just kind of embarrassing to the actors, especially because they have to utter these, you know, horrendous lines, and you know, they're just kind of like trapped in these vehicles, which in many cases they probably didn't exactly choose. You know, their agents might have like directed them into these productions. I think that's the main thing with the three of them, is that they're supposed to be serious films, but they don't come off as serious to an audience. They just come off as embarrassments full of like really bad, like howler, you know, kind of lines. In the case of Ishtar, I think the people didn't like it, just felt she tried just way too hard to make kind of an epic comedy. You know, and like, I don't know, it's one thing to see like kind of like lounge singers who are really untalented, you know, and people in Saturday Night Live, you know, could certainly spoof, you know, singers like that. But then to have two huge Hollywood superstars act like clowns and just kind of, you know, sing stupid songs and like, you know, be bumbling idiots. I don't know. I remember that not working, but I, you know, you're saying you like the first half, so maybe it's funnier than I remembered. But at the time, you know, it was kind of the opposite of a film that was trying to be funny, and then ended up being like way too serious, or I should say, laughless.